I want to go back to 16 years ago. I think that was the last live recording that you put out.
Yeah, Live Trout was 2000. That's right.
And that was
from Tampa Bay.
The Tampa Bay Blues Festival, right?
Yeah.
On the album itself, you know, you put all the patter between the songs. And I want to play a real quick patter that you had on that album.
I haven't heard it in years.
Well, here you go.
See what kind of bull crap I was flinging that night.
All right, here you go.
You know, with each passing birthday, I get more and more aware of mortality. You know what I mean? You start losing some loved ones, and you realize that you got to make the best out of every day you got. Because that's the only thing you can do. And no matter what kind of adversity life might throw at you, you just got to keep going and give it your best shot. That's all you can do.
Walter, that was 16 years ago. It seems very prescient today because just a couple of years ago, you almost died, and you probably would have if not for a liver transplant.
That's true. And actually, when I listen to that now from 16 years ago, I realize that I am even much, much more aware of my own mortality, you know. I feel right now every day is a bonus. Every breath is beautiful. Like, here's another breath. I got to do that again.
Here's a song with a message.
Talked a number of times over the past few years, right before you had your surgery, when you were sounding pretty good, and then right after your surgery, I was surprised you actually, you know, let me talk to you that quickly, because you did. You sounded pretty weak at that time, and during that time, you said just that you were appreciating things that you probably didn't before, even little things like butterflies and birds singing in your backyard. Is that intensity still there? Does it evolve a little bit as you continue to live on after that?
You know, it's still there in many ways. Sometimes I have to remind myself of things. You know, I just got home from a 6-week tour, for instance. I've been home for 2 nights, and I have a neighbor who has a little dog. And the dog barks in the backyard and always wakes me up. And I used to kind of really get angry at this barking dog. And this morning, the dog woke me up at about 5:30 in the morning. And for about 2 seconds, I was like, oh, it's that dog again. And then I thought to myself, that's beautiful. You know, it's a beautiful little dog. His folks go out and they leave him in the backyard for the day, and it was a different thing. I kind of started smiling, which I didn't used to do, to be honest. So, but sometimes I have to remind myself of it. You know, I'm feeling so good right now.
Well, you're calling this new album not Live in Amsterdam, but Alive. Alive in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I came up with that because I am happy to be alive, and I'm still amazed that I'm here. I've got the career is going great. I love my family. I'm married to the love of my life, and I'm just like, I'm savoring every moment, you know?
Was the Amsterdam show a special show, or was it just, you know, hey, this is always a good place to maybe record a live album?
Well, it was done in a place in Amsterdam called the Royal Theater Carré, and it is the Queen's Royal Theater, and it is the most prestigious venue in the Netherlands, and my record label is headquartered in the Netherlands, and they wanted to do the record there. There are times I feel that maybe I play better sometimes when there's not as much pressure and it's a little club and we're just having fun. This was a pretty high pressure gig. It's basically the Royal Albert Hall of the Netherlands. It's kind of formal, you know, but I came out there and tried to immediately break the ice with the formality, and I just talked to the crowd and said, you know, we're just going to do our show.
Wow. God, I love you people. I am speechless here. And since I can't think of anything to say to follow that incredible ovation you just gave me, the only thing I can think of to do is to play the guitar. Okay.
Well, you are involved, at least in the UK, with funding for liver research and care. You say on there that a lot of people, or even most people, don't realize something may be wrong when it comes to liver problems until it's too late. Are there subtle signs to recognize before it does get too late?
I can tell you what happened to me was I had symptoms for a few years that I didn't know what it was, and I just figured, well, I'm getting old. I hammered myself in my youth, and I had symptoms like pretty severe, at times, equilibrium problems where I'd get dizzy up there. I had chronic fatigue. I had to really some nights force myself to even be able to walk up on a stage because I was so tired to the base of my soul. I would also get cramps. I'd get cramps in my hands. I'd get cramps in my legs and my feet. I didn't know what it was, and then I found out what it was when I was diagnosed with hepatitis C, and that the hep C had created cirrhosis of the liver, and the cirrhosis was so bad that I was going to die. So those were the symptoms I experienced, but what I do know is that many, many people of my generation, I'm 65, they have hep C and they don't even know. And I would suggest they get tested. It's a very simple test. And if they catch it early enough now, there are wonder drugs that have no side effects. You take one pill a day for 90 days, and it has a 98% cure rate.
You gotta help me. I can't do it by myself. Help me, baby. I can't do it by myself.
Last time we talked, Walter, I think you said one of your kids has some musical game as well.
It's funny. All three of my kids are virtuosos.
Okay.
And we did not push them into it. As a matter of fact, they have their own band called the Trout Brothers, and they just opened four big shows for me in the UK, in the United Kingdom. They do all originals. They have harmonies. My middle son, Michael, just started in a music college in Denmark. And my youngest son, Dylan, he's a virtuoso drummer. He's good enough he could play with my band. My oldest son, John, is now playing in my band, and I feature him. And he's a really quite amazing guitar player. I always make the joke, we do a guitar duel, and anything I throw at him, he throws right back at me. And I always make the joke, well, he's out to get me. You know, sometimes my wife will say, well, you need to talk to these guys. Maybe one of them will go to college. And I say to her, you know, Marie, I'm a high school dropout. I left high school in my senior year because I had a chance to get into a working club band. And I went out and started playing five nights a week in bars. They know my story. I can't tell them that, you know, you can't do what I did.
But it's got to be a pretty warm feeling for both you and Marie that the three of them are not only playing music, but they're playing together.
Yeah, and then they came over and opened for us, and I'm telling you, they tore it up.
Well, Walter, nice to talk to you again. Boy, you sound great, even compared to the last time I talked to you. You sound so great.
I'm feeling, you know, like better than I have in years because things like that chronic fatigue I told you about that I had for a good amount of years, that's gone. I'm very energetic. I feel young. The medical community and the grace of God worked incredible wonders on me, and I'm in the best years of my life.